Every once in a while, I read a news article that I don't believe. This happened a few weeks back. While scrolling Twitter, I saw a picture of the McDonald's logo. Underneath the logo, the caption said, "It's not just an M." I went on to read that in the 1960s, a psychologist named Louis Cheskin told McDonald's that their Golden Arches logo symbolized a pair of nourishing breasts. This is hard to believe. Surely one of the world's most recognizable logos isn't designed to represent a pair of breasts. And yet, the more I dug, the more believable this strange story got. Loyal listeners of Nudge will have heard me talk about Louis Cheskin's work with McDonald's. He advised them to provide sit-down tables to reposition the brand as a restaurant rather than a burger van, and it worked. He famously changed the colour of margarine from ivory white to sunflower yellow, which ultimately helped margarine sales grow by 600%. And he even advised Betty Crocker to stick a spoon on their logo, something he claims boosted sales by 2 times. So, could this story about the so-called McBreasts be true? Well, it seems so. Newspapers from the time reported the news, and many authors have done their own research to validate the claims. Here's what happened. Cheskin worked with McDonald's in the 60s, and at the time, the brand was about to abandon the arches in the architectural elements of its outlets. He advised McDonald's that they must keep the arches. His case was based on research that showed that the arches had Freudian applications to the subconscious mind of the consumer and represented Mother McDonald's breasts. This association, Cheskin claims, builds a warming association with the brand, making the customers feel that the food is more nourishing, the flavours more familiar, and the store more homely. Now look, I don't think Cheskin's McBreasts actually boosted sales, but this story did get me wondering. Can a logo actually make us spend more? Can subtle design tweaks influence what we buy? Was Cheskin barking mad, or was he onto something? Today, on Nudge, I chat with an expert on the visual aesthetics of advertising to find out. Marketing Made Simple, hosted by Dr. JJ Peterson, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals, and it is the podcast I'd love to recommend today. Marketing Made Simple brings you practical tips to make your marketing easy and, more importantly, make it work. In a recent episode, JJ spoke about the power of one-liners. He shared how these short business descriptions are the foundation for your marketing efforts, and I think that episode is well worth a listen. So tune into Marketing Made Simple wherever you get your podcasts. You're listening to Nudge with me, Phil Agnew. Today I'm chatting with one of the world's leading experts on logo designs. Here she is, introducing herself.
My name is Nazuk Sharma, and research-wise, there's a whole spectrum that I cover, but my main focus is visual aesthetics and stylistic cues and how they impact consumer perceptions.
Nazuk studies logos, analyzing the subtle changes in logo design and how those changes impact buyers. And I really do mean subtle changes. One of the things she looks at is the white spaces between logos and how that white space influences customers. She calls this active white space. And here she is giving an example of brands that have applied this.
I think the one that quickly comes to mind is Microsoft. So maybe you've seen the 4 windows and how they used to be blocked inside like a black border before, and now it's like all spaced out with white. And you can see if you wanted to pick an element visually, you could. But there are several examples. I mean, Apple does this a lot. So just like the Apple's bite version with the leaf on the top, like there is a literal separation between the elements right there.
The one that came to mind for me was FedEx. Famously, the white space between the E and the X of the FedEx logo forms a white arrow, symbolizing how FedEx delivers your goods from A to B. But I had no idea that this white space was more than just a sort of gimmick. I didn't think it actually changed customers' perceptions. But Nazuk's research suggests that it does.
I think if I remember this correctly, we were looking at brand evaluations, like overall brand attitudes, when you kind of use that kind of a design. So when we do studies, we don't use real brands because there's obviously like confounds there. So a lot of my stuff was using fictitious brand scripts and images and logos and stuff. So if I remember this correctly, I think if there was a 2-point change in attitudes for like a sincere or a competent brand, there was like a 7-point change for a sophisticated brand.
So to be clear, Nazeek's research showed that customers evaluated brands far more positively when the brand had more white space within its logo. She found that a brand like Microsoft saw a 7-point increase in positive brand attitudes by just adding white space to their logo. For almost every type of brand, Nazeek looked at, adding a small amount of white space in the logo enhances the customer's evaluations of the brand. That was except for one category of company.
So the amount differed, but relatively speaking, most brand personalities did benefit from that, except the rugged ones. So if you're thinking about a Jeep brand or a Wrangler brand, you know, those rugged masculine brand personality types, those literally had no impact in terms of active white space.
It's clear from Nazeek's research that small changes to a logo can influence what a customer actually thinks of the brand. Although Cheskin's suggestion that the McDonald's logo symbolized a pair of breasts was, let's face it, fairly radical, he wasn't completely crazy. Small changes do affect a logo's appeal. The McDonald's logo features a lot of white space between the M. Removing it and going with something like, say, the old Subway logo might have backfired. It also explains some of the recent rebrandings we've seen. Do you remember the Pringles rebrand recently? At first, I couldn't understand why they scrapped their old logo. It was charming, it was familiar, but now, if you compare the two, it's kind of obvious. The new logo utilizes white space, and I bet they are hoping for Nazeek's findings to apply to them as well. But white space logos, they are just the start. Research by Sevilla and Townsend in 2016 found that increasing empty space between the products on your website, so putting more empty white space between the products on your e-commerce store, well, that, apparently, can dramatically increase sales. Their study with a small jeweler's online website found that increasing the space between the jewelry increased how much people liked and valued the products by 11.4%. And incredibly, it almost doubled sales. Why? Well, according to Thomas McKinley, who summarized this finding brilliantly in his ARI newsletter, it's due to the subconscious association we have with space. He gives the example of customers walking into a high street store. If a store is using a large amount of space to display all of its products, we assume it must be prestigious and have high value products in order to afford the rent for such a large space. If the products are cluttered and piled into one area, we assume it's cheap. They don't have enough money to spend on rent, so they've piled all their products into one area. It makes sense that active white space is effective. Having more space in a store insinuates that the store is doing well enough to clear out its stock and afford more in rent. But white space is just the start. There are all sorts of subtle ways designs can influence us. In fact, Nazeek claims that adding a shadow to an advertisement can make that ad more effective.
But specifically with respect to shadows, and this paper, the one I'm talking about now, is actually my dissertation paper, the one that I worked on for the longest amount of time. It was specifically looking at shadows in certain frames. The way we captured ad effectiveness was actually self-reported measures of consumers, which we actually recruited from online panels. So we didn't really look at real ad clicks, so to speak, but in like a more testing scenario where we randomly showed people ads, you know, with without reflections, with color without color, and we gauged how effective they felt that ad was and how likely they would be to click on it. So more like behavioral intentions, and we used that to kind of compare our results.
And the results are really impressive. Adding a shadow makes the ads more appealing to consumers. It makes them more likely to want to click on the ad and more likely to buy. Why? Why is this? Well, the shadow accomplishes a few things. Firstly, it makes the product stand out, helping the ad capture attention. But also, it makes the product appear real. It makes it appear like you could reach out and grab the product. And that seems to boost appeal. In fact, there are other studies that show how ads that include products that look like they can be picked up, for example, a mug or a fork, these ads perform better if the product is on the right-hand side of the image. Why? Well, because 90% of the world is right-handed. The right-hand position of this product gives the perception that it can be grabbed by the dominant hand. That triggers a feeling of ownership and incredibly makes the ad more effective. In a study from 2019 called On the Other Hand, three researchers found that signups to a supermarket loyalty program were three times higher when a vegetable peeler was strategically positioned on the right-hand side of a billboard. Pretty amazing finding, pretty annoying for left-handed people like me. Anyway, Nazouk says that supermarkets aren't alone in using this tip.
So Apple has always been one of my influencer brands. If they have an iPhone, there is a shadow behind it, and the shadow is kind of, you know, enhancing that aspect. But recently I saw Adidas. So if you go to the Adidas website, it's very interesting to see how every product image, every sneaker image, and if you hover on the image, they would, you know, rotate the product image to show you different angles of the sneaker, which is usually the case. But with every angle, the shadow behind the product changes. So I'm like, wow, this is like a complete application of what I've been studying in. So yeah, several brands, but those are the ones that come to my mind as of now.
Here's what's interesting though. These shadows have become even more effective if you use it on a product that customers expect to be heavy. So when someone is buying something like a crate of beer or an extra, extra large pizza, or say a 20 kilogram set of dumbbells, they want those products to be heavy. And if the website selling those products casts a thick shadow beneath the product, they'll sell a lot better, at least according to Nazouk's work.
We were looking at certain contexts where heaviness is kind of salient. For example, like if somebody's looking for a bulk buying situation where they want something which is heavy. And there are many food consumption contexts where, you know, you may want to buy a supply for like 3 months or a 6 month supply. And when you attach shadows in those situations, it was actually helping. And this was helping regardless of color, which was very interesting to me because now we have a context where shadows improve product perceptions. And the mechanism is that it is being perceived as heavier and hence containing more of the stuff that you want. And that particular finding was replicated like across so many products. And that was another Journal of Advertising paper. So that was really, really fascinating.
If KFC offer a new extra large family size bucket, they should probably stick a really strong shadow behind it. That will increase customer desire. But the opposite is true if heaviness is an undesirable attribute for your product. If you're selling a light and refreshing sparkling wine, using a strong shadow will probably backfire and reduce purchase intent.
So there are a couple of studies in that paper which use like electronic gadgets where you implicitly want something lightweight. And people would sometimes add shadows to things like music speakers. You know, you would see like imagery online with like speakers and a shadow because you're like, oh, this is a portable music speaker. You can carry it around everywhere. But there, I found it to have a negative effect because of these heaviness implications that people draw from it.
It's kind of incredible how these small tweaks have such an effect. But Nazouk's research shows the clear evidence. Shadows increase ad effectiveness. White space made the Microsoft brand more appealing. But we haven't even got on to Nazouk's seminal finding, an insight that I think has changed the way brands design their ads. We'll cover that after this quick break. It is common to hear that marketing is ever changing, that this year is different and that customers are evolving. Honestly, in the 10 years I've worked in marketing, those predictions have been largely bogus. But last year was different. AI, the proliferation of ChatGPT and the global use of these tools does seem to have changed marketing in significant ways. To better understand this change, I'd recommend checking out HubSpot's State of Marketing Report. The 2024 edition is the all-in-one guide for everything happening this year and how marketing has changed fairly dramatically in the past 12 months. HubSpot surveyed more than 1,400 marketing pros from across the world and curated the top trends they are thinking about. If you download the free report, you'll get all the info you need to genuinely understand how marketing is changing and to think critically about how your marketing strategies might need to evolve. Visit hubspot.com/state of marketing to get your copy. Hello and welcome back to the show. You are listening to Nudge with me, Phil Agnew. Now, I wanted to get on to the study that I think Nazook is most well known for. It's a study that has changed the advertisements we see. And the inspiration for this seminal study came from an interesting source.
So that one, actually, the idea came from my travels. So when I go to India, I go with my parents everywhere possible. So I'm like visiting these old forts and like lakes and like mountains. And this idea really stuck in my head when I was actually at a lake with a fort. And there was a story being told about a princess who was so beautiful, who lived in this princess. And she was so pretty that people from far and wide would come to see her. But the husband never wanted, you know, them to kind of see the beautiful princess. So he allowed like somebody to look at her reflection in the lake. And I was like, oh my God, that is so neat. And then the whole thing about that lake and that reflection and the beauty and like all the stuff around it got me to thinking about what is it about reflections that, you know, makes us sort of attracted towards that particular object that's casting a reflection. So I went deep into the whole evolutionary psych literature there to figure out that we as humans living are like naturally attracted to sources of water. So that's one. And if there is a reflection, the natural way a reflection would occur is when there is a water body, right? Even before mirrors were invented, that was the only way to kind of see your reflection. So water, connotation to water, our need for water for survival, our instinctiveness to be drawn to that, all of that plays into why we are attracted towards it.
Nazook had this hypothesis that people are attracted to shiny objects. It's a core human instinct developed by the need for clear, pure, fresh water to survive. So she wondered, would a shiny product, a product with a reflection, also attract customers? To find out, she ran an ingenious study involving handbags.
I remember using handbags which had a very simple but checkered design. And it was, I don't know which brand I took it from, but I had to mask the brand names anyways. Perhaps it was a Gucci, I think. And then I had an exact same handbag, but with a checkered design, which had really, really small and too many boxes on it. Like it was a complex design. And again, we tested like both these products with and without reflection to see that, you know, when it was a simple design, it really enhanced, and in the other case, not so much.
Nazook didn't just test handbags. She ran other studies as well. One showed images of a table lamp with and without a reflection. Others showed images of a bookshelf with or without a reflection. And in almost every single scenario, the shiny reflective products were more popular. The table lamp with a reflection was considered 17% more attractive. The bookshelf with a reflection made people 32% more likely to buy. Like Nazook guessed, we have this attraction towards shiny objects from our evolution. It's from our need for shiny fresh water to survive, and we have retained this bias when we look for products today. But Nazook has a word of warning because she discovered that shiny images work for almost every product except one type of product.
More riskier products, or the products which had ambiguity to them, like supplements or, you know, energy shots and those kinds of products where there's inherently, you know, something off with consumers trying to assess. And I actually saw a lot of those companies using reflections in their ads. And my testing was showing me that they were having negative effect on brand perceptions and like even product evaluations, efficacy perceptions. And I'm like, what is happening there? So I went back deeper into figuring out, and it turns out that reflections add to that riskiness aspect by being these false images, because they are literally reproductions and they're inverted. Like they're not straight in terms of what is being shown. It's an inverted image of the product. It was really adding to that ambiguity and like risk aspect, and they were lowering the quality certainty, and like the whole uncertainty aspect was being accentuated, which was lowering people's brand perceptions. And that was very, very interesting and fascinating to find that, oh, there are contexts where reflection's not so good.
New, unknown, riskier products like energy drinks or vitamin supplements or fat slimming bars won't actually benefit from reflections, as they add to that level of riskiness. I started this episode with some pretty strong doubts about how a logo or product design could really influence consumers. I laughed at Cheskin's suggestion that the McDonald's logo, with its symbolic connection to a mother's breasts, could boost sales. And let's be clear, I still think the McBreast stuff is absolute BS, but it's clear from Nazook's research that the design a company uses to display its products or showcase its logo will influence consumers. Adding white space around a logo will make it more popular with customers. Spacing out your products on your website with more white space in between them will increase sales. Putting a shadow beneath your product on an ad will make that ad more effective, and giving your product a shiny reflection will make customers more likely to buy. So if you run an e-commerce website, why not try this out? You might not end up with the world's most successful fast food company, but you'll probably increase your sales. Okay, folks, that is all for me today. Let me first say a massive thank you to Nazook Shamar for coming on the show today and talking through her research. I always find it extremely interesting to hear a professor walk through the studies they've run and the hypothesis they had and the results they find. So I really enjoyed putting together today's show. If you want to learn more about Nazook's work, then I've left a link to her Google Scholar page, and there's a link to go to her LinkedIn in the show notes as well. So head there to get in touch with her. In the show notes, you will also find a link to sign up to the Nudge newsletter. If you sign up for that free newsletter, you'll get a behavioral science tip every single Friday. So if you've appreciated learning how effective shadows and reflections are in adverts, then I think you'll want to sign up to this newsletter, because there are many, many more tips just like that every single Friday. As always, please do consider sharing this podcast with a friend, leaving a review, or getting in touch with me. Just search for Phil Agnew on LinkedIn and send me a message on there. Thanks again for listening, folks. I'll be back next week with another episode of Nudge. Cheers.